Hot dogs! Hot dogs!
How about the gourmet here? You know what he wanted? Hot dogs.
Hot dogs, yep.
You know they make those things out of, huh, Chet? You know?
Hot dogs! Get your hot dogs! Hot, hot, hot dogs!
Now, it's time for the Dog of the Day with Jeremy and Joe.
All right, if you're going to the Stars and Sabres tonight, last night Justin Timberlake at KeyBank Center.
Yeah.
Tonight, Sabres Stars. Lindy coached Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin.
Yes, he did. They've been there a while now. You know, Ben's been there forever.
There's a funny article, defector.com. Someone wrote up that the Stars, there's no way they should be as good as they are. Like, committing the money they did to Ben and the term to Ben and Seguin should have kind of killed them, and it didn't. They're good. They're really good.
Every year, they are the old team.
Yeah.
Every year, it's like, hey, we signed 38-year-old Joel Pavelski, and he's great. Hey, we signed Ryan Suter, right? Like, they just bring in all these old guys. But Alex Radulov was this a couple years ago, and it just works. They also, though, have, I think, two young stars now in Jason Robertson, who is a superstar, and their goalie, Jake Ottinger, is like a top young goalie in the league.
Will the Sabres get Ottinger tonight?
That's a good question. I actually do not know the answer to that question. They played on Saturday, and now this is the first of their road trip. I might want to guess.
They play tomorrow, too? I should check this, too. I'll pull up their backup goalie.
Their backup goalie is Casey DeSmith. They play on Thursday.
Rochester, New Hampshire native. They play Thursday, so I guess you could get Ottinger.
I bet you see Ottinger tonight. It would be a huge get if it's not him, because he's stellar.
If you missed our conversation with Lindy, he flat out said, guys are missing good chances.
Yeah, like, which they are.
Yep.
I don't know how much value I have for how many chances they are getting. They are getting chances. Some of their advanced numbers on this front are very good. But the implication to me would be, well, guys, it's going to turn around. Look how many chances they're getting. Yes, but fully, like, maybe you just have a team of guys that aren't very good at finishing. That's also possible. It's not linear. Not everybody is the same. It's not just, hey, whoever has the most chances wins. Some guys are better than others. Alex Ovechkin getting 100 chances is a lot better than Dylan Cousins getting 100 chances. So I'm not saying that it won't happen. I'm just not assuming that, oh, the Sabres are getting these chances and it's Jason Zucker and it's, you know, Ryan McLeod, although he's been pretty good, and it's, you know, Jack Quinn and Cousins. Like, I'm not just assuming all of those guys are just going to suddenly flip a switch and start scoring on all their chances. A few of them will.
Yep.
Tage and Paterka will score on their chances. I'm not just assuming anybody else would score on their chances at a regular rate. You probably need, like, two other guys to do it, though, for them to be legitimately good.
803-0550 if you want to join us on this. Okay, so, dog of the day. You know it? You've seen it?
No, I got sent the picture, but I purposely didn't look. You want it? You want me to look?
Yeah. Is this the picture with the explanation for the dog we're going to have tonight?
Yes.
All right. I'll guess it.
Okay. Do you want the name of it?
The Wrangler.
It's not the Wrangler.
The Cowboy.
It is named after a person.
The Jerry World. The...
You think they did a Jerry Jones dog?
Who's the person for Dallas? The JR.
Stevie Ray.
Okay.
The Stevie Ray. Does that help at all?
No. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I'm going to pronounce the first word of this wrong.
Hold on.
I already know it.
Oh, okay. That's a good clue.
I think. It's not like it's the hardest word in the world. Maybe I should know it and I don't.
So, okay, the Stevie Ray. That means it's going to be covered with Joy dish detergent. He's saying Pride and Joy. No, I'm kidding.
I'm like, what?
I'm just trying to think of something about Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Did he eat dish detergent or something?
No. All right, a word you're going to have trouble pronouncing. That's not barbacoa, is it?
No.
Hereford beef?
Achiote?
Spell it.
A-C-H-I-O-T-E.
Okay, I wouldn't have got that either.
All right. So whatever that is, chicken, pepper and onions, sour cream, and salsa.
Okay.
That's what you got.
So The word you said, it's a spice and coloring agent extracted from the seeds of the evergreen Bixa aurelana shrub.
Okay.
Origins, Tropical Americas, Caribbean, Mexico, used in Mexico.
How many people are listening right now like, you know what happened to ketchup and mustard?
You could get that.
We're going into shrubs. We're putting shrubs on our hot dogs now.
They have regular hot dogs.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
But, you know, get the dog of the day.
I'll try it. I'm going tonight. I'm going to try it.
You're going.
I'm going to the game tonight. I'm going to go watch the Sabres play the Stars on a Tuesday night. What could go wrong?
They've, what, 8 of 10 at home?
8 of their – that sounds right, yes. 4 in a row, and then – yeah, yeah. They have 2 road games, Detroit and New York, mixed in there. But then, yeah, everything else is at home.
Here's an idea. How about winning a game – I mean, I don't want this. This is not the keys to moral victory. How about winning a game you don't deserve to win? Instead of losing a game you deserve to win,
you might –
win a game you deserve to lose.
You might need that tonight because this is a good team they're playing. Like, they're going to play great teams that are better than them where you'd like to think, hey, your system or your goalie. That's really it, right? They're supposed to have a good goalie combo.
Yeah, and I don't think it's been as good as we would hope it would be. Especially
not yet.
Levi against the Columbus Blue Jackets was one of the worst ones of the year.
He had some good goal saved of expected numbers going into that game, and it completely undid all of it.
Yeah.
It was one horrible game. He was expected to allow, I think, like 1.7,
okay,
and he allowed 5 or 6, whatever it was.
Don't look now, but right now, Eric Comrie, he's played one game, is 8th in the league in goals saved above expected per 60. Where do the Sabres rank in this?
Yeah.
I mean, let me make it like...
For a team?
For their goalies. That have played 3 games. Ottinger is number 1 in the NHL in goals saved above expected.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Not a surprise. The highest ranked Sabre, UPL, is 19th, and that is minus.
Okay.
He's a minus. And Levi, in his games, is a minus. He's 36th.
Yeah.
So your goals saved above expected, you've not gotten that yet. You could really use it. You know who has gotten that? Detroit, Montreal. They've got 2 guys... Alex Leon and Sam Montembeau are both like 2nd and 3rd in the league in goals saved above expected per 60. So you could probably use some stellar performances, and that says nothing of the power play, which of course could help.
Yeah, I mean, any goal. Just don't be negative goal differential on power play. How does not getting booed tonight work for keys to moral victory?
All right, I've got your keys to moral victory. Let's do it. We don't have music or a segment for this or a sponsor. I kind of just make it up as we go. I've got 2. I think I can think of another one. And again, it doesn't mean there's actually a moral victory. It just means this can't guarantee a win, but it might help. Here are your keys to moral victory.
All right. What do we got?
Number 1. I'm again asking for a power play goal.
Okay.
Number 2.
Yeah.
Don't give up a shorthanded goal.
Okay.
Let's at least have the power play be even.
Yeah.
Number 3. No crippling, head-scratching, oh my God, he's under contract for how much longer turnover for Matias Samuelsson.
Okay.
Those are my 3.
All right. I like it.
Is there another one I should have in there?
No, I think it was good. I would have maybe included don't get booed off the ice at the end of the first period.
I don't know. I don't think people are that sour on them right now. I did like Lindy's answer. You said, like, you have a plan for how that would happen. You know, tensions can get high around here. And he said, play better, win games.
Yeah. Because that was a thing last year. How they reacted to the fans being upset was a story. And I don't think they particularly handled it well.
No, they definitely
didn't. As a player group. In fact, I couldn't think they handled it much more poorly than they did.
No, the captain said that's on them, not on us.
Yeah.
They didn't boo the draw. Listen, they booed you losing to Columbus by 9.
Yeah.
That's what they booed.
I just like a little understanding of what your fans have been through for 13 years and just not even know that it's your fault. Just know your fans are going to be a little more on edge than any other team's fans.
Yep.
And there should be a little understanding on that front. If a power play isn't going well, maybe this would be good for your keys to moral victories. Don't get booed while the power play is going on.
Now, that's difficult. Everybody boos the power play.
Does it?
Every building in the league.
If a power play is like not getting in the zone,
you get
you're
3
hear some,
denied entries, and the cup champs are getting booed in the first period of the season.
Yeah, that's okay. That's probably fair.
So I don't think power play counts with regard to boos.
Okay.
It is the whole 32 teams, all 32 are playing tonight. Are we watching the out-of-town scoreboard, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know how... I guess the staggered starts really does help, because hockey's more of a regional sport, so I don't know how this is going to work because everyone's going to be wanting to watch their own team's games rather than put on the frenzy that ESPN's doing, their version of NHL Red Zone. But when the Sabres are in intermission, I'll throw it on because there'll be, what, seven games going on while the Sabres are in intermission? That's the thing that works about the staggered starts is everybody shouldn't be at intermission at the same time. So,
coming in tonight with the Stars, Matt Duchene.
Right.
He's still hanging around.
See, that's
the old team.
They just signed the guy you heard of that was good 6 years ago, and then he's still going to be good when he's on the Stars.
Matthew Dumba, 30.
Okay.
Esa Lindell, 30.
Mm-hmm.
Ilya Labushkin, revenge game, 30.
Will they play the Gummy Bear song if he scores?
Brendan Smith, 35.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even Ottinger is...
Evgeny Dadonov, 35, is on the team.
Casey DeSmith, 33.
They're old. They're always old. Hey, it works, though.
So is it a men versus young men game?
Sure. Yeah. Dallas. Yep. Win some games, please. Just a few. 6 of 8 would be glorious. I won't even be mad at 5. That's my bar. Get to the Islander game without me being mad. There's my moral victory. Get to the 4th game of this homestand without me being upset. That'd be nice.
Get to the 4th game without being
Get
upset.
Get to the 4th game without being upset. There you go.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I got a rule change for fantasy football.
Okay.
Does this have to come from the president, or how should we do this? Is Goodell? Is there a president of fantasy football?
Generally your own commissioner should have wielding power to...
This needs to be a league-wide rule change.
Okay.
It should happen for, I guess it is the NFL, the lead statistician. It should be true for fantasy football. It should be true for gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks should not lose rushing yards on kneel downs. There's no world that it makes any sense. When a quarterback goes on a designed run for a loss, that's a sack.
Always. They might deem that a rush.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they might.
Okay, when you scramble and you lose yards, that's a sack.
Yeah, that's
quarterback
right.
Draw minus... Yeah. A quarterback kneeling the ball should not lose points in any scenario. It should be called like, don't they have fumble yards? They do. They have fumble yards. Where if a ball moves on the ground, those yards are called fumble yards, I think.
But it's a different category.
Some statistician with the Bills could really probably answer this for me.
Or you could just mark it as...
Kneel down yards. 3 kneel down yards. If you bet a quarterback for a rushing over and you lose it on 1 or 2 or 3 kneel downs, that's dumb. It shouldn't happen in fantasy football. You shouldn't be losing your points on kneel downs. Because ultimately, no matter who the player is, you're losing for winning a game. I know that fantasy stats are removed from wins and losses.
Yeah.
But, hey, I had Kyler Murray's rushing over. Oh, and what happened? He was so good at it that he kneeled at the end of a game. And lost it. Not that he lost that last night, but...
Yeah, he kneeled. Also, I'm looking at the game log, the play-by-play from last night. I guess it can matter how far he goes back, because Murray kneeled it twice, but the first one was for -1 yards, and the second kneel down, they marked him for -2 yards.
Did you do the...
So it's a very small amount.
It just shouldn't happen.
But there are people that lost fantasy matchups last night because they had Kyler Murray, and he lost 0.3 of a point. They're in a... People playing fantasy where that happened for sure last night. I'm into this.
It's not a
rush.
It shouldn't be a thing.
It's not a rush attempt. It's a kneel attempt. Yeah. Kneels should be their own thing. I'm into that. That's got to come from the league, though. You're right. I don't even think you can dictate that from if you're a commissioner, because keeping track of everybody and what's a kneel, like, you'd have to go into every game and figure out. Like,
or
that,
just,
that'd just be too
maybe
tough.
Just games where it's relevant.
But see, that's the thing. Like, it would be tough to keep track of, because if Kyler Murray last night, if you had Kyler Murray and he had two kneel downs from negative 0.3 and you lost by 0.1. Well, now what you are also going to have to do is go see if the other quarterback yep. on the other team had kneel downs, because then you'll have to take his kneel downs away too, and it should start at the league.
That's right. Yeah, just don't count him as rushing yards.
I'm into that. No kneel downs. It really should just the betting part of it too, because there was a Mahomes rushing in the Super Bowl I think a couple years ago that was controversial because he. Do you ever see teams do this sometimes where they won't just, like, to kill a few seconds, they won't just kneel it down immediately?
He'll run backwards.
He'll run, like, he ran, like, yeah, I think Mahomes ran, like, 5 yards, maybe 7 yards, something like that, backwards, like, to try to kill a few extra seconds, and he went under his rushing total in a Super Bowl, which a lot of people would have lost money on.
Yeah. Seems like an easy change.
Yeah.
Create kneel-down yards.
All right.
Do you think, while we're on things that the league might change, they just changed the kickoff because they wanted more excitement. Do you think that the NFL looks at the efficiency of kickers from like 50 as a problem? Because you might not be old enough to remember this. Do you remember what year, boy, what year was it that the NFL changed where the spot on a missed kick was? Do you remember that?
The spot on a missed kick, no.
Okay, so
it wasn't always just where the kick was?
No, it used to be the line of scrimmage. It used to be if you attempted a field goal and missed a field goal,
yeah.
you got the ball at the line of scrimmage, not where the kicker kicked the ball. Okay. Now, one of the reasons the league moved that 7 yards yeah. was to discourage kicks. We think the league thought, too many kicks, we want to make a little more of a negative if you miss a kick. So that 7 yards factors into... Hey, it's 4th and 2 at the 40.
Yeah.
If I miss this kick, they get the ball at the 47, not at the 40.
Right.
So they made it. Boy, what year did they do that? I'm going to try and find that.
Yeah, because I don't think I remember that ever being at the line of scrimmage. As long as I can remember, it was where you kicked the ball, you missed it. That's where the next team gets it, where the ball was kicked. That's where the ball was last. At least last touched.
Finding this is going to be impossible because. Just a quick Google search of this. Everything is about the new dynamic kick.
Yeah.
When did they change the spot of the ball? Can somebody call? Does anybody remember? It was their first year for this. Tasker's got to know. Special teams guy. Steve, when was it? Text me. What year was that? What I'm getting at is when they think that there's too much kicking or not enough kicking
yeah.
or kicking is boring, they've made big changes. The dynamic kickoff, the point after touchdown was moved, and... This rule I'm mentioning where they moved the spot back 7 yards. If kickers stay over 50%, 60%, what are they from beyond 50 this year? It's way high. I wonder if the league wouldn't look at that and say, we don't want them to be that good from that far.
It is more scoring, right? It does keep... I don't know. It is more scoring, and also it does increase late-game drama a little bit. If your kickers... In fact, yeah, you know what? I don't think they're going to change it. I think they would like it. Because think of a future where kickers can start kicking 70 yards. Maybe that's too far in the future. 65 yards on a more regular basis. They're not that far away.
This is no different than golf deciding to roll the ball back because, sorry, everybody got too good.
But I don't know why the NFL would want to do that because all you're doing then at that point is probably replacing punts with field goal attempts and also keeping games more interesting at the end if a team is at midfield and it's a 68-yard field goal down two. Well, Hail Mary is, okay, you know, not really much drama here versus, all right, he's lining up for a 68-yarder and he might make it, game on the line. Like, to me, that's more drama.
You don't want that.
You don't want that?
No. If now the baseline for a possession is I'm going to get three no matter what, touchdowns are now worth less. If field goals are more
bankable. Yeah, coaches aren't just going to go for those field goals.
If field goals are more bankable, like you said, we start hitting them from 60. I got a guy that can hit from 60 on every single kick.
Uh-huh.
Then your touchdowns are worth less because once I get to your 43, I have 3 points in the bank. All of a sudden, I get to your 43 twice. I've equaled a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like you don't want kickers to be that good because it's not easier to get touchdowns. In fact, the whole story this year was how it's becoming harder to score touchdowns, and now it's easier to make kicks. I do think that's not what you ultimately want to be. 1993, thank you to the caller. In 1993, they changed it from the original line of scrimmage to where the kick is attempted from.
Yeah, I would not remember that. That was 2 years before I was born.
You were minus two.
I was minus two, yeah. Speaking of kick returns, Brandon Codrington, sixth in the NFL right now in kick return average.
Good.
32 yards a return. One of the few returners in the league. In fact, I think there's only eight where it's a touchback, you get the ball at the 30. There are eight returners, I think, with whatever the minimum is, that are averaging better than the touchback in the league. So there's only eight guys in the league where it's a good idea for them to bring it out, because everybody else, they're doing worse than what a touchback would be, and Codrington's one of the eight that are doing better. So that's going well, for the Bills at least.
803-0550. Brandon, if you can stick with us, we'll get a call in on the other side. Jeremy and Joe, Sabres game night tonight, 7 o'clock against the Stars on WGR.